We're going to start off this hour talking about a lot of talk last night about innovation, competitiveness, the White House's Office of Science and Technology Policy. It's getting loaded down with homework coming from last night's State of the Union address. The Office of Science and Technology Policy will play a key role in helping the country meet President Obama's call for a 80% of the country's energy to come from renewable sources by 2035. And the office will also help meet the president's call to create a website detailing how and where all tax money is spent. All of this comes as OSTP is understanding is the new requirement in the America Competes Act, which was just signed into law last month. Tom Cahill is the deputy director of policy at the Office of Science and Technology Policy, and he tells Federal News Radio's Jason Miller about the steps that the Office of Science and Technology Policy will take to implement the America Competes Act.
What the bill does is to authorize sustained increases in some of the key science agencies, particularly the National Science Foundation, the Department of Energy's Office of Science, and the National Institute of Standards and Technology. And these investments are critical for a couple of reasons. First, they help to create the foundation for the industries and jobs of the future and improve our ability to compete and win in the global marketplace. Second, research helps us address important national challenges such as clean energy that reduces our dependence on foreign oil. Of course, this is an authorization bill, so the Congress will still have to follow up and provide annual appropriations for the increases that are contemplated in the Act.
There's also a lot of times in authorizations bill some policy that gets implemented. For instance, one of the big differences in the bill that comes through is prize competitions, changes the policy to let agencies become involved in challenges and hand out prizes, whether cash or other type. But where do you see some of the biggest policy impacts that the America Competes law takes into account?
One that you mentioned, which is a provision that was sponsored by Senators Pryor and Warner, it's a big one because prior to this legislation, only a few agencies had this authority. And, for example, DARPA sponsored a grand challenge for the first robotics car that could successfully navigate a 132-mile course over desert terrain. Prizes have a number of advantages under certain circumstances relative to traditional grants and contracts. So they allow the government to set a goal but not to pick the team or the approach that's most likely to succeed. They capture the public imagination and attract ideas from people and companies that are not traditional government contractors, and the government only pays if someone is successful. So they're not going to work in every instance, but when they can work, they've got a number of advantages over traditional grants and contracts, and you can see some of the prizes that government agencies are currently sponsoring at challenge.gov.
Now, as you said before, there was only a handful of agencies could do it. Walk me through now, does every agency now have approval to hand out $1,000 up to $1 million? Give me a sense of what the law authorizes.
What the law authorizes is for agencies to support prizes up to $50 million. They can support a prize that is larger than that, but they would have to write to Congress, notify Congress, and get their approval before proceeding.
Now, does anyone ever do a $50 million prize? Because that seems huge.
Well, something that is related to a prize is called an advanced market commitment, and these have been used in the area of vaccines for diseases of the poor. So five governments plus the Gates Foundation supported an advanced market commitment for a vaccine that is going to save the lives of 7 million kids in developing countries over the next 20 years from dying of diseases like pneumonia and meningitis. And that was $1.5 billion. But a classic prize, that I do not believe that there's been a prize that is larger than $50 million. So there's a Google Lunar X Prize, which is $30 million.
What is OSTP's role in terms of the prizes? Are you guys putting out policy, implementation guidance?
We worked with the Office of Management and Budget on some detailed policy and guidance that they released in 2010. And since then, OSTP has been leading a community of practice of people across the federal government who are interested in using this policy instrument. And now that the Congress has passed legislation that really removes a lot of the legal barriers, we expect that the government agency interest in experimenting with prizes will increase significantly.
Obviously, you guys are there to help out in terms of not necessarily make things are done correctly, because it's probably OMB's job, but give them some lessons learned, give them some ideas, give them some help.
Yeah, that's right. And to also to identify some areas for potential prizes that would advance some of the administration priorities.
Let me shift over to some of the other policy areas. The Interagency Public Access Committee, can you talk a little about what that is about and how what role OSTP is going to play in that?
I think there's a real interest by the Congress and I think a number of outside groups as well in making sure that we have a broad dissemination of the results of research, whether that's the peer-reviewed scholarly publications or the digital data that results from funding by the federal science agencies. And I think the value of public access can be seen in another policy that Congress supported, which was the NIH policy, which led to PubMed. So now 420,000 unique users are logging on to the NIH PubMed website, and over two-thirds of them are from outside of the academy. So it's clear that there is broad interest in these research results, not just within the research community. And we should be looking for new ways to ensure that there's broad access. And that's also really consistent with the administration's open government strategy, which calls for increased transparency, participation, and collaboration, and has directed agencies to make more information available in a machine-readable format for bulk download, which has allowed all sorts of outside individuals and developers to create new value-added services that take advantage of that. So I'm sure you've heard of the notion of government as a platform of making information and data available in ways which allows all sorts of creativity and value-added services from entrepreneurs in the private sector.
So basically this committee will help promote that value-added services, the government as a platform?
It's going to be looking at the issues of how we expand access to the results from unclassified research, including both digital data and peer-reviewed scholarly publications that are being supported by funding from the science agencies.
Currently, is that done how now? Is it more ad hoc, or is it done agency by agency?
Different agencies have different policies. So Congress passed a specific policy with respect to the NIH, but not for the other agencies. So this is really an opportunity to figure out whether there's a set of government-wide policies that makes sense to move forward.
Tom Khalil, he is the Deputy Director for Policy at the Office for Science and Technology Policy, talking to Federal News Radio's Jason Miller about the new coordinated approach to ensuring easy access to federally generated scientific and research information. You can hear the entire conversation. It's online anytime, and much more about the America Competes Law. You can find